I had a word that I shared last week with some of the staff. And the Lord's talked to me about it all week long. And keeps adding to it. So if you were here last week, last Sunday afternoon, you get some more. And the interesting thing is he still talked to me about it the whole way here and even after I was here. And so your prayer for me needs to be, and my prayer is, Lord, I need to go as far as you want me to go, no further, but definitely as far as he wants me to go. And that Holy Spirit would keep me steady, that I don't just take off and spin out there 100 miles an hour, right? Y'all with me on that? I can get excited and just brrr, and I'm spinning. And I don't want to do that this morning. So, Lord, we honor your word. We love your word. It's life to us. It's health to our flesh. We give honor to your word this morning. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of the word. We just yield to you this morning. I yield to you that your anointing would flow through me. And we all yield our ears and our hearts to you, our spiritual ears to you, to hear and for you to cause the word to come alive inside of our hearts, cause it to be real and usable in our own hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. So the word I was talking about last week was transition. And how transition is a period or a process of changing from one place or one condition or one season to another. It's a phase where something ends and then in between, it's the phase in between where something ends and then something new begins. That place in between there is called transition. It's that process that's in between. I don't claim to be a labor and delivery coach. That's cookie, okay? But I did have four kids. Transition is the hardest stage of labor and delivery because it's the final stage before pushing and the actual delivery of the baby. It's the most painful stage. Contractions are closer, they're more intense, and they last longer. It's the stage where the nurse or the doula is watching over the mother more carefully, more attentively, and it's also the stage where you're watching over the baby or that which is to be born. You're watching over that as well, because during the stage of transition, it's very intense, and the intensity can be stressful on the mother giving birth, but also on the baby who is to be birthed. This is true in the natural, but it's also true in spiritual matters as well. And often in transition, and I'm talking now spiritual matters, there's a spiritual battle. The battle, this is something that I began to realize, he began to talk to me about this week, was the battle is really not so much about where you came from. It's not really so much about what you came out of or where you came from. The battle is actually about where you're going. Okay? You with me? See, the enemy wants to keep you all messed up with what you came out of or where you are right now and the intensity of everything that's going on. But the real warfare is for where God is wanting to carry you. That's the real place of warfare. And that's why there's a battle. Because of where the Lord wants to carry you. And the enemy doesn't want you to get there. You know, I mean, if I was the devil, I'd fight you too. He doesn't want you in that place. Maybe it's another place of authority in your life or another place of influence in your life. Whatever territory that the enemy has been comfortably doing whatever he wanted to do in, he doesn't want you in there changing stuff up or running him off, right? He doesn't want you in there messing things up. Now, if we really believe that God has a plan for our lives, and I think we all do, then we have to believe that each step or stage or season or place, whatever you want to call it, and it might be all those words at different times, I don't know. But we have to believe that each one of those along the way better prepares us for where we're headed. You know, unless you are in rebellion, unless you are resistant to the Lord, or, you know what I mean, unless you're pushing to do your own thing, then each stage, each place is better positioning me for God's purpose for my life. Amen? Each place is preparing me in a greater way. So moving forward with the Lord through life, He uses each season along the way to equip me, to put things in my heart, put tools in my hands, teach me how to walk them out, how to use them. That's equipping. Preparing me, positioning me, etc. And in this, He's also checking in each place my attitude of my stewardship, my attitude, my character, etc. He's checking these things as well. And in a lot of these places, in between seasons, there's transition places. All right? Are y'all following me? Each step of the way, in between each season, is a transition. You can almost feel or tell or judge, or I don't know what the right word is, the magnitude or the size or the importance maybe of what God is wanting to carry you into by the opposition you're receiving. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like you can tell, wow, I've heard people say this must be really big because it's like hell in the hallway here, you know, between rooms, right? And keep that in mind. I think there is truth in that. Now, He was talking to me last week, and I was sharing that many of us are in a place of transition. For some, it's jobs. For some, it's things going on in your lives. For some, it's things spiritually. We're actually moving. We've just moved. What was yesterday? The first day of fall? Is that right? I think. Okay. Friday. Okay. First day of fall. So we've moved from summer to fall. Well, just because it's on the calendar and says it's autumn or fall, whatever your calendar says, it doesn't mean it suddenly is. You know, we live in Goldsboro. There's transition. We still warm, cool. You know how we do. Some days might be a little cooler. Then it might be 90 degrees again next week. You don't always know because we're in transition, right? Last weekend was the new year on the Hebrew calendar. The new year is 5784 on the Hebrew calendar, and it's calling that a year of open doors. Those numbers mean a year of open doors. Well, if it's a year of open doors, plural, that tells me there's some transitions in between doors, right? Yeah, even that little piece in between there is called a transition piece, right? So, I mean, going in between places, there are places of transition. So, and obviously some places are easier or more difficult than others. Some are quicker seasons of transition than others. You know, some you just seems like you just go right on through. But the bottom line is we all are understanding there's transition going on. And the Lord said Church on the Rock is also in a place of transition. Now, I don't believe that God's Word, that the things in God's Word is random. I believe that there's an order. I believe there is direction. I believe there is a flow to what's being said or what's been done, even in history and so forth. But in the middle of the flow of the Word of God, you can find really gold nuggets that'll stand out and pop at you, that you can grab a hold of, and they're really helpful in life, right? That even though you're not necessarily in that story, there's something there that's like, man, that right there stands out. And one of those is in Daniel 7:25, if you want to turn there. I'm not going to talk about this in Daniel, but I want to look at that word, that verse, or at least a pretty good portion of that verse. It says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute, and that word means literally wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. And just stop right there. That's kind of like enough, right? I mean, that was a mouthful right there. So he attempts, I'm going back, go to that part first. He attempts to change or alter times and laws. That word there, you know, in the Greek, in New Testament, in the Greek, we see chronos and kairos for the word times. But here in this particular word, in the Hebrew, this word for time is an appointed time. It's a time that God has appointed or purposed for us. Okay? The word laws there is referring to the decree of the king, or the decree, the word of the Lord. You could call it a word that has been spoken over us or over your life. Okay? And he reveals in that first part there one of the ways that Satan would attempt to do this, by wearing down the saints. Okay? Hang with me. You know I love looking up words. This Hebrew word, wearing down, right here, this little phrase in Scripture, is never used in Scripture to talk about physical fatigue. It's actually talking about mental and emotional weariness. So he attempts to wear you down in your soul, where your mind, your will, your emotions are, the seat of your decision making. He attempts to wear you down, to cause you to become weary, to lose heart, to faint. This is where we see fear and discouragement, hope deferred, other emotional responses that really affect our faith, don't they? They attack our faith, cause us to lose heart, right? Now, if this kind of weariness, this fear, this discouragement, if it occurs in us and gets a hold of us, we let it get a hold on us, it can alter your appointed times. God's appointed times and purpose for you. And or it can alter the words, the things that he has declared over your life. If we get ourselves into this weariness, if we let the devil wear us down, it can mess up or alter or change God's appointed times or God's decrees, his words, the things he said over your life. Are you following that? Everybody good on that? Now, it isn't God. It isn't on God's end, like, oh, they're weary, I'm done. It's not on his end. Okay? It's not him. It's because we lose hope. It's because we waver in our faith. I want to give you an example of this. This succeeded with the first time the children of Israel were leaving. They were given opportunity when they were in captivity of Babylon. They were there for 70 years. And it was the will and purpose of the Lord for them to come out and begin to rebuild the temple, their homes, rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, where they'd been taken captive and everything was left in ruins. The first group who went to build the temple was led, you see this in the book of Ezra. King Cyrus allowed them to go. He even gave back the vessels and things, the instruments and things that were used in the house of worship that had been taken out. All that stuff had been ravaged, taken out of the temple when Nebuchadnezzar was king. He allowed that stuff to be taken back, and he allowed them opportunity. He even helped them raise the money to rebuild, okay? So here they are. They're under Zerubbabel's, say that three times fast, leadership. But here's what happened. The enemy they hired and sent people to the king to lie and to accuse Israel. They're out running their mouth, slandering, accusing, and lying on them. And it caused Israel to become afraid and discouraged, and they quit building. And the rebuilding of the temple stopped for 16 years. For 16 years. Now, in the meantime, they did begin to rebuild their houses and their businesses and so forth. But I want you to hear this. They were discouraged. They were afraid because of the stuff the enemy was doing to wear them down. And what they decided was, because of all this opposition, it must not be the timing of the Lord. Must not be his appointed time. Do you see that? I want to show it to you. Haggai 1. God spoke to the prophet Haggai. This is such a powerful word in all of this to me. Verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. In other words, you know, it can't be the appointed hour after all. Can't be. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you to yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple lie in ruins? In other words, it's not the time of the Lord to rebuild the temple because we're having so much opposition. And the Lord's saying, oh, but it's okay to rebuild your house, but not mine. You see that? So I'm looking at this, I'm saying, wow. I see where the weariness, the fear, the discouragement came and caused them to talk themselves into thinking, hey, it's not the right timing of the Lord. You ever heard that? Must not be God's timing, or we wouldn't be having such a hard time. Really? I mean, really? Stop. Aren't things supposed to go easy when it's the will of God? Tell me that in the Word. Show me that one, right? It just isn't always easy, is it? We want it to be, and we want to tell ourselves it must not be the will of God because I got all kinds of opposition. Are y'all with me? You don't act like you are. So I said to the Lord in the middle of all this, I'm sitting at my table, I said, what does this have to do with transition? Listen at the word he gave me. He said, they're living in Babylon. They're going back to live in Jerusalem, right? Making it ready was their time of transition. Church on the Rock. How long has God been saying, make ready, make ready, make ready? Those exact words. That's why he said that to me that way, I'm sure. Make ready, make ready. The rebuilding was a time, it was a place, it was a season of transition. And in that place of transition, the enemy wanted to stop him. He didn't bother him back there in captivity. He didn't bother him there in Babylon. But making ready, it doesn't even seem like he gave too much hassle with them to build their house. But he did not want walls back up. The enemy doesn't want walls up. And I don't mean like walls of your heart. I mean he doesn't want walls up because that signifies a fortified city of the Lord. For them it was a fortified city of the Lord. And when you have a fortified city, that's one you don't want to take, right? People don't want to take a fortified city. But to rebuild the temple would be to rebuild the place where they bring their sacrifice, where they worship the Lord. Amen? And that those things he didn't want. You know, it made me think about how many things in our lives have we put off that we believe were the will of the Lord, and we put them off and decided it wasn't the right time because there was opposition. was hard. It made me think that even of us here. It did. I called Sim and I called Cookie. I told him this word. I was upset. I was upset. You know, have I gotten into a place where I was upset. The warfare against Israel was to stop them from going back to Jerusalem, which was God's purpose for them. So there's warfare to get to the place of God. There's warfare in that place of transition. And just as the enemy planned, Israel got wearied right out of their appointed time. James tells us that if we want to receive from the Lord, that the trying of our faith works patience, and we're to let patience or steadfast endurance have its perfect work in us, right? Hebrews 4:14 tells us that we must hold fast our confession of faith. And Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast the confession of our hope. What is our hope? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is what we attach our faith to. And it comes from His Word. His Word brings us hope. It also causes faith to arise. He said, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You know, if we waver, we don't receive, do we? If we're like a sea tossed back and forth when we waver. Now that word there, hold fast, in Hebrews 4, hold fast our confession of faith. That word there, it says power, might, and strength that's used to prevail. The word there, hold fast, in that little phrase there in Hebrews 10 is sit to seize upon something with your strength and hold it down. To hold on to intensely. So how often have we heard the word of the Lord or the decree of the Lord? How often have we heard it and lost hold of that word? Are y'all with me? Because something happened contrary, because something had circumstances, pressure happened, opposition. I mean, things just went, God gave a word and everything went opposite, right? How many times have we lost hold and didn't firmly hang on to it with all our might and power and strength intensely? But instead, we got weary and we let it go. He said, hold fast your confession. And that word confession is homologia or homologia. I don't know how it's pronounced. But it means to say the same thing. It just means to say the same thing. So the Lord decrees something over your life and your place is to say the same thing He says. I remember just couple years ago, the Lord said, I want you saying the same thing that I said to you. I want you saying the same thing. I want you saying the same thing. You know, hard places come and we can have a tendency to say what we see instead of saying what He says. Don't we? Hard places come. So He's saying, hold fast. Hold strongly with power and might to our saying the same thing that God has said. That's what Nehemiah did. He carried the second batch of people into Jerusalem. The second time they went in to rebuild the temple. Same lies, accusations, and trash talk came. Same kind of mess came. And kept on, and kept on, and kept on. I mean, the enemy will keep on. You'll respond to him rightly, and he'll keep on. He'll try a little harder. And you'll respond right. And so he goes a little deeper. And you'll try to do it right. And he'll go a little deeper. And he'll just keep on. I mean, Brother Hagin said, you got to give him credit. He's persistent. He is persistent, for sure. So you keep standing, and he's all the more persistent to keep on. But you've got to be all the more persistent to keep standing and hold on to that word. God said this, and I'm not letting go of it, right? That's what he says in his word, and I will not let go. That's what Nehemiah did. He wouldn't quit. He knew it was time, it was past time, and it was the word of the Lord to go. He knew it was time to do it, and he held on tightly. So turn with me to Nehemiah, if you would. I love Nehemiah. I have so many places marked, but there's just a couple that I want to highlight for you of some of his responses. I love this. In chapter 4, it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed. They became angry. All of them conspired to come together and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. Okay, they're getting weary. And there's so much rubbish, we're not able to build the wall. They're getting weary. And our adversary said, they'll neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, whatever place you turn, they're going to be upon us. I mean, 10 times. How many of y'all would have quit? How many of y'all would have given in? So what Nehemiah did, he said, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, their bows. He said, I looked, I rose and said to the nobles, the leaders, the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing. All of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. But from then on, here's how they did it. You got a hammer in one hand and a spear in the other. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to keep on, but I'm ready to fight if I have to. I love that. A hammer in one hand and a spear in the other. You come any closer, I'm going to cut your head off. Another place that I love, love, love. I love it all, but I really love. Where is it? I'm so far ahead of myself. Nehemiah 6. Verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers saying, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? I love that. Why you think I'm going to come down here off my ladder and go answer you and go mess with you? You know you have mischief planned against me. Why would I come down from this great work? I love it. I love it. So they were actually able to accomplish the plan of the Lord. He said over in verse 9, oh, they were saying all this stuff. Verse 8, he said, no such things as you say are being done. You invent them in your own heart. You ought to learn to talk to the devil like that. Are you making that junk up? You liar. But they're trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it won't be done. And what would he do? He's just, oh, Lord, strengthen our hands. I love it. I love it. He would not go for it. And they actually accomplished God's purpose. Amen. All right. So now, there are some things that I have that I believe will help us in the place of transition that I want to talk to you about. The first one is let go of thinking that's contrary to where God's leading. Wherever he's wanting to take you, let go of thinking. You know, Israel wanted to go back, let go of thinking that's contrary to that. Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. So remember, when God's wanting to carry you into a new season, there's opposition. But a lot of that opposition is right here, right? You know, Joyce Meyer did the thing, Battlefield of the Mind. Some of the warfare is because of what's familiar to you, right? I mean, you're in transition. All you want to do is go back where you were familiar. You want to go back to what you knew. But also the unknown of where you're going. Do you know where God's taking us? Do you know how to get there? Do you know what it all is going to look like? I mean, you know, a lot of it we don't know. We know some things he said. I don't know how it's going to all look, though. And that unknown can bring feelings of doubt and inadequacy and inability and fear. You got to think about it. Israel, we make fun of Israel, but they lived in Goshen for 400 years. They had set up housekeeping. Okay? I mean, they'd been there a while. They were settled in. They were familiar. And this unknown territory, they didn't know anything about promised land, okay? They didn't know. And all of that kind of stuff can cause you to lose sight of what God has said, his decrees to you and over your life. And again, it's just still part of the plan of the enemy to get you off of the word. So what we have to do is we have to cast off, cast out, cast down fearful, doubtful, contrary thinking. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us, take captive every thought and make them obey Christ. Bring them into obedience. The obedience of Christ. Ask God, give me a new lens. Give me a new way of thinking, because a new season will require a new way of thinking. I can't think like I did before where I'm headed. I can't carry, like Carrie said earlier, I can't carry this same stuff with me. But I can't think like that. Y'all with me? Don't settle for Ishmael, number two. God did bless Ishmael. He did. And for us, when God blesses something that we're doing, we become settled with it and we don't pursue any further or desire Isaac. Because God did bless Ishmael, right? But Isaac was the promise. Isaac was God's plan. Ishmael had the blessing, but Isaac was the son of covenant. You know, when God told Abraham what he was going to do, that he would make nations of him, make a great and mighty nation of him, nations would come out from him. When he told him all these things and kept talking to him like this, finally Abraham said, how will I know? And what did God say? Go get me a heifer. Go get me the elements and let's cut covenant right now. Let's cut covenant right now. Isaac was the son, the promise from the covenant that God had made with Abraham. I was thinking about that this week and I was thinking, he also wasn't in covenant with Hagar, he was in covenant with Sarah. Right? Just added nothing, no extra cost on that one. So with that in mind, with all of that, because of it being easier to settle for Ishmael, who's blessed, but not the one, because of that, we have need of steadfast endurance, patience, just like we were talking about earlier. Some places of transition are longer than others. How long did Abraham wait? You know, and a lot of the wait was self-inflicted, but still, the wait was a long time. And to get from where we were, well, I'd just rather just go back. This is taking a long time. Maybe I missed it along the way. Maybe I missed a turn. Are y'all with me? Ever feel that way? I can tell you I have. If it can take a long time. And what you have a tendency or a temptation to want to do is, I mean, Sarah's probably thinking, honey, I know God promised that baby would come out of your loins, but he didn't say my name in it. He said your loins. So maybe you just go sleep with Hagar, my handmaiden, and have a son from him. It'll still be out of, kind of sort out of your loins and be your seed, right? Are y'all hearing me? Have you ever had thoughts? Not maybe like that, but you know, I mean, have you ever had, not those thoughts, okay. But I mean, have you ever had thoughts where it wasn't like, oh, I'm trying to help God, but you were reasoning and using logic, and logically it made sense to do that. Are you with me? No, you have need of steadfast endurance. For after you have endured, you'll receive the promise. Y'all with me? Don't settle for temporary blessing. Because when we get tired and weary or question mark in our waiting, and then we start birthing like an Ishmael, and then we settle for that Ishmael. You know, Abraham said, Lord, bless Isaac. I mean, not Ishmael. Let it be Ishmael. And the Lord said, no, he's not the son of covenant. I mean, he was trying to, please, come on, Lord. Bless him. Let it be him. And the Lord said, no, I'll bless him. I'll bless him. But he's not the son of covenant. Having patience will carry us all the way. Are y'all okay? Okay, I am not done. If you need me to wrap it up, I can. But I'm not done, okay? Number four, when God gives directions, we need to learn to trust him and obey what he says. In Numbers 13, hear this. When Moses sent out the 12 spies into Canaan, the mission was not to decide if they're going to go into the promised land. It wasn't about that. It wasn't to decide, are we going to do this? No. He was clear in chapter 13. The mission was to scout out the territory. What are the people like? Are they strong or are they weak? Are there many or are there few? What's the land like? Is it good or is it bad? Are the cities like camps or is it like a fortified city, like strongholds? Is the land rich or is it poor? Are there forests or not? The mission was not to decide if we're going to do it. The mission is scout out the territory so we can come up with a strategy as to how we're going to do it and when we're going to go in and do it. That's a good word right there. So when circumstances look contrary, and boy did they when they got in there, there's giants. Everything looked contrary. When things look differently than what the Lord has decreed, what his word has said, what he has spoken to you, we tend to resist. We tend to want to draw back. We tend to become fearful or doubtful. I mean, I keep saying these same words over and over, but that's what happens. But God is calling us right in the middle of transition, right in the middle of circumstances looking contrary, right in the middle of it looks like it ain't never gonna happen. Right in the middle of that, he's saying, trust me and obey what I've told you to do. Amen? I should have got a lot of big amens out of that. I was like, yes, Lord. Number five, guard your emotions. I want you to hear this. You cannot allow where you are emotionally invested to hold on to you or pull you back when God is calling you to move forward. Amen? I mean, I've joked about Israel, you know, them not wanting to go in the promised land. They wanted to go back really to leeks. You really want to go back and eat onions? I mean, that's what you want to go back for? But now listen, they really did have more than that. It says so in the Word. They had homes and gardens and food in Goshen. And when they would complain to the Lord about this stuff, they would say things like, we had pots of meat. We had bread to the full. We want to go back. Not only that, I raised my children in that house. Are y'all hearing me? We built onto that house. I added a porch on that place. Come on. We got a new roof and everything. Are y'all hearing me? We can have all kinds of attachments to there when God's saying, I'm calling you to go here. And we have to be willing to release, let go of emotional attachments. Never make a decision when you're emotional or tired, weary. You need resting, you need refreshing, maybe healing, maybe restoring. You know, we talk a lot about not being led by your flesh. Don't be led by your emotions either. Amen? I'm trying to go faster. Huh? Number six. Pay attention. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, I want you to pay attention. In transition, I miraculously took care of them. I'm talking about Israel in the wilderness. Wilderness was a great place of transition. He didn't want to carry them straight into the promised land. He purposefully didn't do it that way. So in between this place of transition, he said, I took care of them miraculously. They lived by the miraculous. They lived in the miraculous. And when I lead you to move on, I will provide for you in the transition. I'll provide for you. Listen, their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. He provided food and shelter and water, heat and protection for them at night, a cloud to cover them and keep them cooler in the day. And instead of gratitude, instead of being thankful, they murmured and complained. And you know, I was thinking about even in the place of transition, even when you can't see what's ahead, when you don't always know where you're going or how to get there, right in the middle of it, do we have a tendency to murmur and complain, or do we have a tendency to be grateful? Enough said. Y'all don't like that one. Okay. I saw faces on that one. So I'll move on. Nobody like that. I will have to say this. We may be small in number, but we've never lacked for one thing. Have we? Church? Have we? Have we, Jason? Yeah. And we just keep doing and doing and doing anyway. And he just keeps providing and providing and providing anyway. We had a huge kids camp this summer. And we spent a lot. And he just keeps providing. Amen. Because in that place of transition, there's miraculous provision. There are times I look at it and I'm like, it's miraculous. It's a miracle, Lord. I don't know how that happened, but thank you. Okay. Number seven. God led Israel through the wilderness, that place of transition, to prepare them and to strengthen them for the promised land. They weren't ready for what was ahead. In the promised land, there was going to be territory that they were going to need to take. And they weren't ready for that. You know, we talk a lot about the fact that they weren't war ready. And I don't disagree with that. I'm cool with that. But as... think about the battles they fought taking territory. Most of that stuff they didn't fight. Most of it, God just did it supernaturally, didn't he? You know what their part was? Do what I say, obey me and trust me, and watch what I do. Are y'all hearing me? I mean, in looking back at it, no, they weren't war ready. No, what they weren't is ready to listen to him and obey him. And that's what he wanted them to learn in that place of transition. He carries us through places of transition to prepare for what he has for us. And the enemy wants to use that as a place to weary us and wear us down. And God's saying, but I could use that same place to strengthen you instead and prepare you instead. He wants to wear you out. No, I want to strengthen you. Isn't that what opposition does in a weight room? You know, I haven't been in there. that opposition doesn't feel good to me. But the Lord's desire is to use that very opposition as a tool to strengthen us and prepare us for where he's carrying us. So this awkward in-between place that feels scary and uncertain and unfamiliar, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know how to do it, I don't know how to get there, all of that is teaching us to learn to listen to him and follow what he says. Obey it. Listen to him. He knows exactly where to go. He knows exactly what he's wanting to do. We've got to remember, don't lose sight of what he has said. Don't lose what he has said. Amen? And remember, his times and seasons are in his hands. He'll get us there. If we won't give up, he'll get us there. Let what he says, let that be the thing that keeps coming out of your mouth. Amen? Now, I want to share one more thing with you, if you'll give me that much more time, and then I really am done, I think. What happens after that will be on him, not me, okay? I'll say it like that. He said to me, you know, I told you I had questioned, Lord, have I messed up? Have I messed up the timing or the anything because of, you know, times when you feel like this or that? He said, you're still in that place of transition. I don't weary with you. We can get wearied by the enemy, but the Lord said, I don't get weary with you. I hold you tightly as I teach you and deliver you of the things that cause you to be afraid and uncertain. And I know when to remind you of my word to hold you steady when you're about to waver. And I think about how many times I have asked the Lord, are you sure you really want me? You know, are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to raise up somebody else? Is my time over? Ain't they tired of hearing me? Or whatever. And the Lord always carries me back to, what did I say? And he knows exactly when to carry me back there when I'm about to start wavering and getting stupid. You know? Are y'all with me? And so this morning on the way here, he reminded me of the dream I used to have all the time. That old blue station wagon. Didn't have air conditioning or nothing, but I was hauling my kids down the road. It was a reoccurring dream. And to me, it was a nightmare. I would be riding down the road, and I couldn't see where I was going. I never could see where I was going. And I would be so frightened because, Lord, please don't let me get into the other lane. Please don't let me veer off the road. Might be a ditch or a cliff or something. I mean, or a parked car. I mean, please don't let me veer off the road or into another lane. Lord, keep me steady. Keep me steady in this path right here. And once in a while, I'd get just a little bit like that right there. And I go, oh, thank God, I'm right in the center of my lane. And then all of a sudden, I wouldn't be able to see again, because I can promise you if I could have seen long enough, I'd have pulled that car off and put it on the kickstand. I promise you I would have. That was my plan. If I could see. And so the Lord, I said something about one time to these people who have prophetic dreams. I don't ever have dreams. And the Lord said, yes, you do. And he began to talk to me, even through Cookie, about that dream. And that it was a dream of my life, a walk of faith. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight, right? And I couldn't always see where I was going. But he would let me see just enough to know you're right on target. It's okay. Okay? With me? This morning on my way here, here's what he said to me. Because I remember I would be so scared. I can't even tell you how afraid I would be. You think about it. You're driving down the road and you can't see where you're going. It's scary. Okay? He said, you would have pulled over if not for me. I knew when to let you see and when not to. If I had allowed you to see any longer, you would have quit. You'd have quit. Do y'all see that? What an amazing God. He said, I knew when to let you see just a little bit so you know you're on course. But I also knew when to stop that because I knew you. I knew you and I knew what you would do. What a good father. It really settled my heart that he would go to that great length for me, you know? Also, if he had not done this again, whatever it was he did, then I wouldn't have been walking by faith anymore, would I? I'd have been straight up in the walking by sight at that point. He said, in this place of transition, I'm also delivering you of things, and he's talking to Church on the Rock, that will keep you from being able to minister to the harvest, that would keep you from being able to be prepared for the days ahead and help prepare others for the days ahead. He would deliver us from the things that would keep us from being able to do that, but he would also teach us and help us where the fears and the doubts and unbeliefs could come in. So the answer was our praise and worship this morning, our time this morning. He said, so keep your heart open and surrendered before me. Isn't it neat how the Lord just can line things up so well? Keep your hearts open and surrendered before me, and let me do this deep work in your heart. What a good father. Amen. What a good, good father. He amazes me. I don't hardly know what to do with him most of the time. I am astonished at who he is in my life and who he is to me and for me. It amazes me. I'll tell you, you want to understand the word better and better? Start having conversation with him when you're in the word. What about this, Lord? What do you mean by that? What does that mean? Or what has this got to do with transition? Will you start asking questions and you get him in the conversation and the word of God in the conversation with him right there in the room? Oh boy, he starts opening it up, and then you hope he's not in the house because you're fixing to get wild. You hope nobody's in there because it's fixing to happen. And then I'm getting up and I'm walking through like, Lord, I'm so amazed at you. I'm telling you, his word comes alive. And it comes alive not just because I'm called to teach it. It comes alive because I get him in the conversation. I get him involved in my time in the word. I'm not just reading to try to get something. I'm reading to hear what he wants to say to me, you know? What are you saying to me? Stand to your feet. I still managed to do it, y'all. Unless I stopped my watch. Well, I didn't manage to do it. The Lord helped me, obviously. Lord, we're so in awe of who you are. Words don't even describe the magnitude, the greatness of who you are, God. And we don't even always know how to respond to that. We're just like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Our words are so little and insignificant, but our hearts are so full of gratitude for who you are and your faithfulness to us. Oh God, keep your hand on Church on the Rock and do what you want to do in this people and through this people. Have your way in our hearts and our lives. Prepare us for the days that are ahead, for the things that you have said. Prepare us. Keep us steady as we lean on you. And as we keep our hearts surrendered to you. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We ask you to forgive us for places where we have gotten off track, where we have allowed the enemy to weary us. Help us, Holy Spirit, bring that word back fresh in our hearts, just like you did in the time this morning in the altar. Bring it back into our hearts where we are faithfully committed again. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever that faith project is, we say, yes, Lord. That life of faith. We say yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.